Welcome to day number 11 of the 12 Days of Podcast. This series of 12 perfect episodes is brought to you by the good people at Def Jam. Jeezy's new album, Pressure, is everywhere. It's on Spotify.
Where else?
It's on Apple Music.
Where else?
It's on Pandora.
Where else?
It's on Tidal.
Where else?
It's on Amazon.
Where else?
It's on Black Planet.
Where else?
It's on Craigslist.
Where else?
It's on Pornhub.
Where else?
It's on Pernhib.
Where else?
It's on Pornhorb.
Where else?
It's on Boonk.
Where else?
It's on Flomp.
Where else?
It's under a table at IKEA.
Where else?
It's in that secret folder on your boss's laptop.
Where else?
It's in the club.
Where else?
It's on the couch that people have done weird things on.
Oh, where else?
It's on the weird parts of Tumblr.
Where else?
It's in our ugly lobby next to all the bad decorations.
Where else?
But most importantly, it is on JeezyShop.com where you can get autographed copies of the album. Go check out JeezyShop.com today.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Day 11 of the 12 Days of Podcast.
Can you believe we've made it this far?
You know what? I can believe it because I know the work that we've put into booking and editing and hosting and cleaning the apartment. It's a lot of work doing this once a week. Doing 12 episodes in a row is something else, but good job by you.
Good job by you not tearing down the ugly decorations in the lobby.
Oh, my God.
Good job by you putting together these episodes every day, and also good job by us doing these Def Jam reads.
Shout out to our friends at Def Jam, and thank you for sponsoring the 12 Days of Podcast. Jeff, I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Because on January 10, 2018, we are returning to New York for our latest live show, this time at SOB's. Jeff, you know who's been on stage?
Us.
And 2 Chainz.
But mostly us.
And Kanye.
We're forgetting us.
And John Legend.
We've been here before.
And Drake.
Yeah. It's almost like we're back like we never left.
We are back on that stage, January 10, 2018. You know how the show goes down. Storytelling, music, comedy. There could be special guests galore. We're not going to tell you guys. That's part of the surprise. It's part of what the fun is. Go get your tickets right now. You know it's going to be a hell of a show. It's called It's the Real, 2 SOBs.
It's a good name.
See you there January 10th. Get your tickets before they sell out. Don't wait any longer. Today's the day to do it. itsthereal.com is where you can go.
Merry Christmas.
Today on the podcast, Jeff,
we have Peter Rosenberg, our third or fourth favorite Jew.
Damn, who's ahead of him?
I mean, me, you.
We put ourselves as better Jews or our favorite Jews in front of Peter Rosenberg.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh my God. Shout out to Mom and Aunt Jane, who I think are pretty good Jews.
Yeah,
our
actually,
cousins.
Larry David.
That's right. Larry David is way before us. You guys know Peter Rosenberg from Hot 97, from ESPN, from the WWE. We were on the street with him yesterday, and the FedEx guy knows Peter Rosenberg. He said, I was listening to you this morning. And then Peter got a ticket on his car. Sorry about that to Peter. Should we reimburse him?
Absolutely not.
Oh.
No, that is the tax for coming over here.
Well, thank you, Peter, for coming on the podcast every year. Every year he gets a ticket.
Yeah.
Well, as always with Peter, it's a wide-ranging conversation that goes everywhere from the passing of Combat Jack to Donald Trump to Mike Francesa to wrestling to...
Yeah, we had a lot to say about wrestling.
Well, I don't know that we had a lot to say. Peter has a lot to say. We have a lot of questions about wrestling. But it's always a fun conversation with our friend Peter. Our what?
I would put Shine ahead of him.
Oh, man. All right. Top five. He's a top five Jew.
Well, let's not put a number on it. He's a Jew that we know.
Top tier Jew.
Yeah.
Peter Rosenberg. Jeff, when do you want to get into this episode?
Right now.
Do your yelling. Yeah, do the yelling thing. All right. Thing. All right. Here we go. The big yelling shtick.
My
mic's not on?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good.
All right, ready?
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Bubba Sparks Perspiration, a.k.a. Ugly Sweater.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Never Share, a.k.a. Money Bono.
I like Never Share. Never Share. Oh, it's Rosenberg, a.k.a. I had a good one the other day.
Boo.
You screwed up already.
Yeah.
It's Rosenberg, a.k.a. No Lex Wearing, a.k.a. your favorite restaurant's favorite customer, a.k.a. I'm wearing black on blue this year. I don't care about clashing.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a waste of time, but this is the real.
I
love this, Peter. This has become like a tradition. It's basically our Christmas. We just reunite with you once a year at our apartment.
This is the third time.
This is the third time. Congratulations.
Yeah,
you are the most tenured person on this podcast
us. There'd be a couple other three timers.
I don't think so.
There might be.
Who, Dan?
Waz and Nodwan here.
Oh, maybe.
Three times.
Yeah. All right. Well, We'll just think of you as the
I'm
first.
The, let's be honest, I'm the biggest one.
I'm the biggest one.
I heard, I talked to people. Yeah. They said every time I'm on, the numbers are the biggest they've ever been. Your numbers are going to be through the roof on this episode. I want to tell you that right now. I guarantee it.
I told you just a minute ago that I listened to last year's podcast.
Yeah.
And we started off talking about Trump. And there's so much stuff in there that we predicted would happen. I mean, other than all that war. That came true.
Wow, that's interesting to think about, like, where our mindset was 1 year ago and, like, the frame of mind we were in at this. We did it right around the same date last year, right?
We did, yeah,
same
exactly.
Same week, right?
Yeah.
The final week, which is, by the way, yeah, it's a great tradition because I love this week.
Yes.
I don't have the Michael K show this year.
Nice.
I'm just, like, chilling.
Are you really doing plugs right now?
I'm not doing the Michael K show on 98.7. afternoons, it's the 3 to 7.
Right, tune in.
But no, it is interesting to just think about where we are relative to that. And like, in some ways it's better because we've at least calmed down to the point of like, you're not terrified on a total day-to-day. Like, I think the last 2 weeks, you know, passing a bad tax code.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm cool with that. That's regular bad Republican politics.
Well, this is really bad. They snuck in so much terrible stuff.
I haven't read it extensively, and I'm sure it's terrible.
Hey, you want to know what? Nobody has.
No, including President Trump, who thinks that it's repealing Obamacare. But my point is, even if they snuck in the worst stuff, bad, terrible tax code that hurts most Americans and is only good for the rich, that is still regular politics. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. I'm not happy with it,
yeah.
but I hate it the way I've always hated conservative politics.
Oh, this is
it's not antagonizing North Korea. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Hey Juanito, I'm doing the It's the Real podcast. What's up?
Oh, hi Jeff and his cousin.
Oh, no, we're
Jeff and Eric, they're brothers.
It's fine.
It's all right.
I know Eric and his cousin.
That's right. All right, go ahead. What do you got? What do you need, Juanito?
Well, first off, hi, guys.
Hey.
You already said that. You covered that once. All right, what else you got?
It's something related to TP and possible potential contest stuff. Will you get me up later?
Well, just text me and I'll hit you back. Just get me this stuff.
It's already sent.
Is that all you were calling to tell me, was that you already sent me the content?
No, but something else related, like a video.
Just say it. You know what? Is it something you want to share with the podcast? Is it private?
Well, I thought it was interesting that Enzo called out The Rock, and that could be potentially something interesting.
Wrong podcast.
You know what? I got to tell you, though, that is a good call. Will you tell the video department that, Juanito? That's a good call. Every once in a while, Juanito actually says something that's pretty good. You know what? You're right. Enzo Amore calls out The Rock is pretty good.
Well, since I have you guys on the phone, how come I never got invited to the podcast? All right,
we
got to
go. Yeah, got to go, John. I got to tell you, DJ John is one of those guys who has really learned exactly what his character is and like how to make it awesome.
It's amazing.
Like what he just did there, the intentional, like, no. Yeah. Like he knows you're getting hung up on.
Right.
Like, and when, honestly, like that's when a radio show is hitting its peak, when every character is like, that's who I am. I'm not fighting for it to be something else.
Right.
I'm not like, oh, take me more seriously.
So it's all downhill from here?
I wasn't going to go that way, but yeah, I guess you could view it that way. No, I think we still have some room to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, certainly ratings-wise, we're good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would like to be like dominant, which we're not. We're in a very good, even back and forth fight with the Breakfast Club
in
New York radio.
Why does
not nationally? I want to be clear, so people don't come at me and go, "What, you think you're more popping than the Breakfast Club?" No, I believe that they. I'm saying this right now. I've been very honest recently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What happened? I don't know. Well, because I've let go of certain fights that I always had built in me by nature. A lot of it came. It's an appropriate time to talk about it because obviously we'll talk about Combat Jack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I ended Juan Epstein, for all intents and purposes, when we decided to like not do it the same way we were doing it, I felt a tremendous sense of like relief from like the competitive nature that I feel to a certain degree, and really just wanted to be like the best. I know it sounds so basic, but like the best at what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So like we do really well competing with the Breakfast Club on morning radio. So a lot of people get confused and they're like, what are you talking about? The Breakfast Club crushes you. The Breakfast Club's syndicated. Like when I go to Houston and I turn on urban radio, it's the Breakfast Club, right?
Mm-hmm.
They won the digital war. Like I just, there's no argument about it. Like that's just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I've reconciled to be okay with that. And I, am happy to just do an awesome local morning show.
Do you remember when we do
a good awesome local morning show?
Do you remember when Dave and Jay Leno were going at each other, and Dave had a huge billboard right in Times Square that said like, "We're number two"?
Yeah.
And he just like bought into it, and it was great. And by the way, in the long run, Dave's got the better show.
And it ended up being number one. And yeah. And like, I know, you know, like I said, they won. Their ability to do a big show is and get a lot of noise is awesome. I know what I hear from people who want to listen to a local morning show that like feels like morning radio. They have canned interviews every 10 minutes. It's not the same thing. Like, they're running running a syndicated show is a lot of work that requires like playing things that have to air everywhere. We literally can be like, start talking right now in the middle of a song, and like we just do.
Yeah.
And there's a flexibility to that makes it a really great, like, it's okay to be a local New York morning show.
Right.
That's all I ever wanted in life.
That sounds like a real losing attitude.
Yeah. I know. But
I've always been very curious about when, I guess, Ebro decided to acknowledge like their content on air. I always thought that was like a big turn.
It's probably because he had to, right? Like, at a certain point, you can't just say
you're an asshole. If they do the Birdman moment,
yeah,
right. If they do put some respect on my name, which
big
is
moment.
The biggest moment of their run,
yeah.
In my opinion, they haven't had anything close since. but I still have to take some shots.
Neither has Birdman.
That's a good point. Yeah. But for you not to acknowledge a cultural moment is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we stopped that a long time ago.
Because there was a time in your guys' radio war where it was just like the station down the dial.
Oh, right? Yeah. Like, but I had a full change on that.
Yeah.
Like, I just believed it's stupid. Charlemagne does a thing where when people ask about us, he goes, "Who? I don't know." Like, I saw a thing.
You're the J-Lo to his Mariah Carey.
Yeah, wow. It's silly. Like, he got asked, I think the last question, someone sent it to me on his Hot Ones on Complex.
Yeah.
The last question was, say something good about Rosenberg and Ebro. And, like, he couldn't. And I was just like, fam, it ain't that deep,
but
bro.
But is that the character then?
Like, I don't know that.
Like you're praising like Juanito for his character. Is he playing a character like, oh, like, you know?
That's, you know, maybe. But I mean, with me and him, it's always like there's that thing continues to exist of like, don't acknowledge it. And listen, he is a old school radio dude.
Mm-hmm.
He acknowledged us while they were behind us. And once they took the lead, particularly digitally, because right now we are back and forth in mornings. But when they took the lead digitally, it's like, no, we're not going to acknowledge them, which is a radio. That is a belief. Like, you acknowledge when you're behind because, you know, that helps build your attention. And once you're in the lead, you don't give it back.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a philosophy. I just feel like these days content comes from so many places.
Mm-hmm.
People have things they like. Like, let's be honest. When a big artist does a round of interviews, people decide where they're going to watch. And, like, there's, I'm sure, a big population that just is like, oh, I just watch the Breakfast Club interviews. That's it. There's some people like, I watch all of them. I watch Sway. I watch whatever comes up. There's some people like, I don't fuck with the Breakfast Club. I just like watching your guys' interviews. I think they're smarter. Whatever the thing is that they like. But for me to, like, if they've had enough moments, our characters are all solidified in terms of what we are, how we exist. So, like, there's no, I just don't feel it anymore. Like, I don't feel the same animosity in the same way. I mean, if you want to get me into, like, a really, I could still, you guys know me well, open up the door and be like, let me delve into it. But on a daily basis, I don't. I have tons of other problems, but
we talk about those.
We can.
Yeah.
But that negativity part of it, it felt not good. And like, and then I have like new ones. I had it with like Craig Carton,
right?
At The Fan,
which Eric loved though.
Because I can't stand Chris Carton.
Is it Chris Carton? I honestly always forget. Craig Carton.
Craig Carton. Yeah.
Love that you did that unintentionally. That was the best.
Is Eric Chris?
Yeah. Oh. He's your J-Lo and you're Mariah Carey.
So like,
It pains me that he went to Syracuse University. Like, it's on that level.
Chris or Craig?
Craig Carton.
Yeah.
Formerly of WFAN.
Formerly.
Yes.
Listen, he's a bad guy. And like, you could tell he's a bad guy.
Right.
Charlemagne's iffy because to me, he's been a bad guy. But I know a lot of other people who don't feel that way. Mm-hmm. So
right. Like, Charlemagne's always been like fine with us, but.
And other people I know who I like. So I think, let me put it this way.
Yeah.
I don't think Charlemagne's a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Wait for it. I think he plays dirty in radio.
Okay.
And I think I just now discovered that's the difference. So I want to be like, no, morally, he edited audio of Cypher Sounds. They released the Floyd Mayweather drop audio, which I thought was really fucked up. Mm-hmm. Like, those are, but that's all playing dirty within radio.
Right.
That doesn't mean he's a bad guy. It means he does anything to win in radio. I wouldn't do that.
Right.
But I have other moral things that maybe he wouldn't do.
Okay.
So with Carton, you could just tell, like, he's a bad guy.
Right.
Like, you, if you, like, when I was, like, feuding with him, I Googled, like, Carton racist.
Yeah.
And, like, 8 different stories came up.
Right.
Like, about, like, the time he offended this group and the time he went after that group. The time he started having listeners call up to report suspected illegal aliens. I was like, oh, my God. Right. You're, like, a terrible person.
Right. Once, maybe it's a mistake.
Exactly. No, no, no. There were
Wrong number. Yeah.
No, no. First of all, the my original stuff was just like, you guys know, like, I can hear coded language and be like, this guy sounds like a racist.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then when you Google it, be like, I'm curious. Is this guy racist? And then it's like.
And Google always has the answers.
Yeah. And, but these are like, when it references real local articles in newspapers mm-hmm. where they're like, he was suspended because he did blank. He was I was like, yeah. There might be some fire here with the
not
smoke.
Great. Not
oh,
great.
And then, and then things unfold. And you're like, oh, well, you actually were a really bad guy.
So,
but the point is, I didn't want to add another. I was like, man, how many negative things can I have like to fight with people? I just don't. People think I like that, and I don't. It's my own insecurity that makes me do that.
Okay.
I don't like it.
So here's one that like cuts to the core of me, is that I'm a huge Mike Francesa fan. I'm a huge Mike and the Mad Dog fan. Like their whole career meant everything to me. I like, you talk about radio. I sat down next to like my radio and listened to them growing up. Every afternoon,
Eric
right?
transcribed every single episode.
Oh my God, that's a lot.
No, I loved them. I like obsessed over WFAN. It was my thing. There
sure.
was and by the way, when ESPN launched their like local radio stations, I wouldn't even listen to them. This was my
I'm
like
sure.
Jay and Nas stuff, right? Like
no,
just
I
purely
get it.
Jay.
Yep.
And I love Mike Francesa. I hate that he voted for Trump. I hate some of the things that he does or did or whatever. But for the very most part, he to me is radio royalty, and I love his career and respect him so much. You know, on the other hand, you have like Phil Mushnick or like whoever, you know, people want to hate on him regularly.
Mushnick's a bad guy too, I'm sure. Not a bad guy, mean journalist.
Mean-spirited.
Mean-spirited.
You definitely jumped in against Mike. How much of that was like you're his competitor, and how much of that is you just really don't like the guy?
I don't know him at all. So I'll start with that. I don't know him at all. Here's what frustrates me about Francesa. Francesa, this is not a popular opinion to New Yorkers.
Right.
New Yorkers have a tendency, and this is one of the things I actually relish about being an adopted New Yorker, because I truly do consider this my home now, and I don't give a shit what anyone says.
Whether, I mean, you've been here for how long?
Over 10 years.
Right.
Right, and I married my wife here, and our
well,
children were
you married
here.
Her in Long Island,
right.
So.
Right, New Yorker Jays.
I guess, yeah.
So... But no, getting married in Long Island is such a New Yorker move.
It is.
So here's what New Yorkers do. Something is attached nostalgically to them, and because it was a big thing there,
mm-hmm.
it's the best overall.
Get out. Get out right now.
So...
I agree with that.
That's something that happens. It happened here. It's the best. New York's the greatest city in the world.
I agree.
America's the best country in the world.
Thank you.
None of these things are tested. There's no standards for these things. It's just an opinion by the people who live here.
Okay.
It's the place I choose to live in both cases. However, I don't believe New York's the greatest city in the world. I don't believe America's
Wait.
The best country in the world. I believe they're my two favorites.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
There's a difference.
Yes.
So in the case of Mike Francesa, Mike Francesa, Emmis launched WFAN in the late 80s. It was the first format like that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, Jeff Simoulian, who owns my company,
mm-hmm.
should be everyone's hero.
He's a Radio Hall of Famer.
He created that format.
Mm-hmm.
And then they took this guy, Mike Francesa.
This guy.
And another guy, Chris Mad Dog Russo.
Yeah.
In my opinion... Chris Mad Dog Russo is radio gold. He's lightning in a bottle. He is Mad Dog. He sounds insane. He goes off on anything. His emotion is It's palpable. You can feel him when you talk to him at any moment in real life. Russo, who I have interviewed, mm-hmm. you at any moment when you talk to him, you feel everything. I believe Russo is a star. Francesa, I believe, is solid, but was right guy, right time. And then became a part of your nostalgia so deeply mm-hmm. that you cannot separate whether he's a great radio personality or whether he's just a part of your life that you love. For example, my favorite show on the WWE Network is Primetime. When I go back and watch episodes of Primetime, I realize the bits are funny. The matches were garbage. They put on trash. But when I hear it, it is a warm blanket and my mom cooking me matzo ball soup. It just feels like home. And I think that people cannot separate those things. Mike Francesa, for the last decade, has been most known for getting things completely wrong or embarrassing himself some way on air.
Right.
Had that been done by some guy in a podunk market with a country accent, a redneck accent, instead of a New York accent, New Yorkers would think it was an embarrassment and shouldn't be anywhere. Because he has a New York redneck accent, mm-hmm. everyone identifies. And I just think he gets a lot of extra love that is not as deserved as people think.
Mike was number one.
Number one.
In the books every quarter, right?
Yes.
Like forever.
Yes.
People are going to aim for his back once he's number one, regardless of whether he's making mistakes or not. And I think because of social media, those are sort of like blown up.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. But I mean, let's just be honest. The level of he has faux pas that are pretty bad.
Sure. You know, falling asleep or.
Yeah. Know. Or like blatantly saying like, I didn't say that. And then, yes, of yeah. course, with him, people record it now because yes. it became so regular.
And he has a huge ego. Totally.
By the way, and then there's a second layer. Which is I've worked in the industry now for a good amount of time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I talk to people and people talk.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like my cup of tea.
Right.
He doesn't carry himself the way I do, the way he's the opposite of how Kay carries himself. And I know there are people who are New Yorkers who you just could never convince them on Michael Kay. They'll be like, whatever, Kay is annoying. I hate the Yankees. I hate Kay. I love Francesa. Kay is a gem of a human. So when you hear the stories about Francesa too, it became easy for me to really want to like cape for Michael Kay, who mm-hmm. like didn't have to treat me well when I got to his show.
Sure.
I was kind of forced on him by ESPN nationally. Mm-hmm. Like they were like, we have an idea. We think you should try it. And he could have been the world's biggest dick. Mm-hmm. And instead he gave it a shot, saw it worked, and has been like totally into it.
Which is great.
But by the way, like I'm not knocking the nostalgic flavor that you guys have for him. If I'd grow, I get the feel when I hear him. I've been here long enough to it feels somewhat homey to me.
And by the way, I love where they came together. Like there was a yin and a yang to it, like with Mike and Chris. Like
yes.
I love them together more than I like them apart. Like
everyone just, does, yeah, right? Course, let's be yeah, clear. Yeah. That's the best version of them.
Well, would you listen to Mad Dog if he wasn't on satellite radio?
I don't listen to him on satellite radio.
Right.
No.
But is that a function of him being on satellite radio or him?
If Dog had been on local FM radio, I would have turned him on.
Okay. Here's a follow-up question. And I don't know which way you'll go on this, but your new competition is a good friend of your wife's.
Yes.
And also someone who's nostalgic to me because he was Mike and Chris's producer for a long time and then had a falling out with Mike, who is...
Because Mike's a bad guy. Keep going.
Okay. And that's a big slot to fill, and he's going up right against you.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
And that's Chris Carlin.
Chris Carlin.
Who, by the way, is known to be a great guy.
The best guy.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, the only, I went and saw Chris Carlin at, we went to a Phillies game this year mm-hmm. just to go visit him in Philly because.
Because that's where he was working until he took.
Yeah, and of course, I'm an idiot. And when I said, do you think you'll ever get Francesa's job? And he was like, no chance. I believed that mm-hmm. instead of realizing like, no, of course CBS put him in Philly to get him ready for a while
right.
and have him move up and get this.
Right.
I'm excited in the theme of not wanting to be negative. I'm excited that I love my competition. Like now I hope it doesn't turn because like Bart is my boy too.
Mm-hmm.
So Bart Scott and I get along great, but Bart is an athlete who I could see, like, if things got intense, like us kind of going at each other, I could see it happening. Hope it doesn't because I love him.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never had competition that I feel
fondly about. Maggie Gray from SI is very cool with my wife. I ran into her recently and thought she was terrific. So I it's weird to have competition that you are fond of. Mm-hmm. I am annoyed that people think it's a foregone conclusion we're now going to win. Because you have to understand, Mike Francesa benefited from that real estate. It's that real estate is precious, mm-hmm. which can lead us to a Joe Budden conversation if we want to have that too.
Totally, yeah.
Real estate is important.
It's all about location.
If Francesa had gone to, had Francesa gone to Satellite and Chris stayed on 660,
right.
he'd be the bigger deal.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry. I mean, right. I don't think anyone would argue Dog's the more compelling personality. That's, had he been there, he would have been the bigger deal. So them staying in that slot, that's a big, you know how big the 660 signal is?
Yeah, it's the 50,000 watt clear channel voice of the Mets, Jets, Knicks, Rangers, and St. John's basketball.
See?
It used to be clear channel at some point?
Yeah.
Wow. So it,
that's what they called it. It wasn't clear channel. Yeah, the clear channel, yeah.
You can Why do you think they named the company after that signal?
That is weird, right? But it is, I can get that, I can get 660 at home.
Yeah. You can get it down in Florida.
Home being
D.C.
Oh, well, yeah, the truth comes out.
The greatest city in the world.
I say home for both. I say home for both, for the record. When I go home to D.C., mm-hmm. I'm like, honey, I want to go home. And when I'm here, I'm like, we're going home for the weekend. So it's both are home. But that real estate's huge. Yep. And when we compete against them, we have our 98.7 signal up against their 660 signal and their 101.9 signal. Mm-hmm. Also, it should be
noted. How many
watts
you got?
They got plenty of watts. Yeah. But it's FM watts are different. But for the record, all I was saying, and their producer loves to take my tweets and like retweet them so I get hate all day from their people.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which I think is like really awesome that you want to do that. But all I would get frustrated about, like, I wouldn't have said shit about Francesa on the way out. Mm-hmm. But when someone brought up Kay and they're like, oh, I think Kay's going to be number one now. And and Francesa goes, you know, he's never been number one. True. Never won a book. And he's like, never been close. Never, ever been close. As we were literally within the last book, when he should have been pulling away by the widest margin he's ever had. Mm-hmm. Like 7 weeks straight, they were up like 0.4 on us. I was just like, don't say never, ever been close because you know it's the closest it's ever been. And by the way, do I sound like a loser celebrating getting close? Yes, I do. But you just don't have to blatantly lie. Like, I just don't. He has a Trumpian way of just being like, and his people just believe it as if they get Nielsen ratings and know what the ratings are. They tell me, you're lying. And I'm like, no, I physically look at it. You don't know.
Yeah, but facts don't matter anymore. You should know that better than anybody.
And he's and I do think there's a lot that, and here's my question.
Yes. Yeah.
For how amazing Francesa is, and maybe you're such a super fan, maybe you'll have those moments. I don't think he has like those interview moments that you hold on to. And like the legendary time he talked to blank was like a national thing that became like a really big thing.
I don't know that they became big things, but I always enjoyed every interview. Like I thought they were deep and compelling, and it just spoke to me.
Yeah, listen, and by the way, and I haven't. So yeah, just in closing on that subject,
yeah.
I have no beef with that, and I think he certainly deserves legend status. You could think someone's a legend and think they're overrated at the same time. I think he's a legend, mm-hmm. but I think New Yorkers' nostalgia is so deep that when you're like, he's the greatest radio personality of all time, I'll tell you right now, my favorite radio personality in D.C.
Big Tigger.
Steve Zabin, who just does nights in D.C. He's not a legend yet or anything like that. He's been doing radio 10, 15 years in D.C. I think he's 10 times the radio host that Mike Francesa is.
He does sports?
Yeah.
Okay.
I grew up with a guy on AM radio in D.C. named Ken Beatrice. I think Ken Beatrice was 10 times. So like, it's what you grew up on. Costas used to be on radio and did a show called Costas Coast to Coast. I thought he was way better than
Francesa.
See, he's
a Syracuse graduate that I fuck with.
So. Well, he's a good man. So I just want to say, like, just appreciate your nostalgia. It's cool, but, like, not California Tortilla is my favorite restaurant. When I go home, every time I go back to D.C., I go get a burrito from there.
Is California Tortilla home?
By the way, yes. But
do they know you by name?
At some locations.
Oh, yeah.
They've really expanded. Well. But they're not the best burrito in the world.
Well,
they're just my spot.
You know, sometimes you just got to test it out.
Yeah. You know, and maybe if you compare it, it is.
Yeah.
Anyways, but that's my story.
All right. So Joe Budden.
Yeah.
Joe Budden left or was asked to leave or whatever Complex
left.
Like, biggest show ever. Yes. Everyday Struggle. Which, by the way, so we did this year-end wrap-up, and one of the questions, one of the categories we had
was Artist of the Year, and Eric said Joe Budden. And
he's not even an artist, right?
Yeah.
But he has been in every conversation, no matter whether it was like the Migos or Lil Yachty or Jeezy or whoever. Joe was at the center of conversation, and he doesn't even rap, right? He's so influential and part of 2017. It's crazy.
By the way, I was on board with this, but the other five people who were in our apartment were not at all.
Disgusted.
Yeah. They were just like, oh, we came on the train to see you for this. And like, you know.
That's a good trolley take. I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah. No, but he had such a
but
great
it's a good
year.
Argument, too. That's yeah. what makes it a good take.
So you brought Joe Budden into podcasting, I believe.
And you'll take him out.
And I, exactly.
And so you saw what this could be. I mean,
yes. He's an incredible talent.
Totally. And can talk and has
he's,
takes.
Joe,
and
he's incredibly compelling. Like, you can't take your eye off Joe. He's the real deal. And by the way, the word artist you said is right. What Joe has that not a lot of other people have, he's a real artist with the way he does everything. That's his mentality. That's part of why he's leaving right now, because he's a fucking crazy person also. And I love the guy. I think our relationship is pretty public. Our ups and downs is a pretty public
you
thing.
And Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, Joe makes decisions that I think are not good.
What's Kanye's line? It's like, what genius you know ain't crazy or whatever?
Yeah. Joe is a genius, and mostly as a personality. Mm-hmm. That is what his calling is. However, I believe this is a mistake, you know, and I'm not saying he won't bounce back. He was like, I'm creative, I'll create again, I'll create another one. There's a few things that I think are messed up, and let me just give full disclosure. I love Complex.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like they have been fair to me since I started doing anything outside of Hot 97. They appreciated me, paid me well, treated me nicely. I've only had good experiences there, so I should be clear about that.
Do you also love Joe Budden?
I love Joe Budden. Can't say every experience has been good, but we love each other. Like, right. There's real love there.
Yeah.
I know it goes both ways. You know, he's a great. I consider Joe a friend. Mm-hmm. I interviewed him before anyone ever knew who I was, and we stayed in touch as a result of that.
Just full disclosure, do you also love DJ Academics?
I do not know DJ Academics, but I did I did kind of stick up for him on Twitter, but I do not know Academics, and I've actually clowned him before because, you know, I'm not a big fan of people who's getting into the game is kind of done by repurposing other people's content.
Mm-hmm.
I have issues with everyone who has gotten in the game that way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That said, I think Academics have done a great job with their platform.
Yeah.
So here's my issue with this. Can Joe create again? Yes. Can Joe have something great again? Yes. However, like Francesa, do not no sell that real estate. The Complex real estate and timing of when it came out was awesome.
Yeah.
Joe's podcast was popping before. Mm-hmm. It was a popping little podcast. His podcast is bigger because of Complex. The show was bigger because it was on Complex. And also, do not negate the chemistry that he has with
Nadeska
and not only Academics, but Nadeska too. That needs to be mentioned.
Yeah.
Because that role's not nothing. That's a big role.
No, she's great.
So to me, here's what I don't appreciate. And I haven't called Joe to tell him this on the side, so maybe I'm a bad guy for not just saying this to him. And maybe I will. I don't believe the stories that there's internal chaos. I believe Joe wants to make more money. And I believe the money is inherently limited because it's a digital show on a platform that they're building and hoping to be really big.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Joe wants more. And I think Joe's like, if you can't pay me more, I'm out. And I think I get that.
I don't think that's unfair. Yeah.
It depends on what you view as fair. I don't know what the offer is.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, okay, but as I see the issues, I didn't listen to the whole podcast.
I didn't hear any, so tell me what else he said, by the way.
Okay. What he said was that there were certain deals that were happening that he and Academics would not get paid for extra, but like the company would. So like, for instance, Nike sponsors an episode of Everyday Struggle. Everybody has to wear the new Nikes.
The Vapor Maxes, yeah.
And so, but he doesn't get paid on top of that.
Okay.
Complex does.
If that's exactly how it played out.
Sure. Yes. Sure.
Or was it that they said you could get money, but it wasn't the amount that he saw fit?
Well, he didn't say that. What he said was that they
offered him nothing.
Yeah. And so he also said that Spotify had come in with some other deal, and then it didn't happen because Joe said that he wouldn't be involved or something.
Right. And I think ultimately the contract that he was offered 5 months ago is the same contract that he was offered again at the end of the existing contract. So
that would be shocking. Him getting the same offer, the exact same offer, with no bump given how the show did.
Yeah.
I find that surprising and borderline hard to believe.
Okay.
Because I've never known them to be stupid. Now, is there a situation in which he wants so much money that they're like, we don't pay anyone here close to that? And that screws us over with Hot Ones, with Joe LaPuma's show that gets more views than anything they do.
Right.
How do we reconcile that? Because we cannot pay anyone, even people who are doing similar or better metrics to yours.
Right.
How can we do that? Now, but I have not had that conversation, so I don't know if that's true. I'll just say this. I love Joe. I do think he's erratic. I do think he is an egomaniac, as am I, so I understand that part. But listen, if they really offered him a shitty deal, that's a bad job out of them. Do I believe that? Probably not. I probably err on he went hip-hop style and was like, I need blank amount. Come with the check. You know? Like my favorite story that we told on the podcast before about Mos Def demanding, when he was at Raucous, a $10,000 hat or he wouldn't go on late night TV to perform Oh No. Okay? And they're like, please, it's our biggest single. He's like, right, buy me the $10,000 hat and I'll go on TV.
Right. Did he get the $10,000 hat though?
You'd have to ask Jarrett. I don't know if that happened or not. I think maybe they did come up with it. But
so I guess
the precedent's been set. Yeah. But this is not,
if you were Joe,
you're not a rapper getting a bag. You're a dude setting up a career.
If you were Joe in that situation, what would you do?
I don't know how much he demanded. I am a terrible person to ask in this regard. I believe I've been underpaid basically everything I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
So I err on the opposite side, which I don't think is right either. Which is like, we can't afford this, but we really want to have you do this. And I'm kind of like, okay. Like, I am that guy.
But
I always was that guy. I'm becoming less that guy since mm-hmm. I got an agent.
Yeah.
I've become less that guy.
There's so much less hate in your blood now.
You see that I'm a different guy.
Well, your skin is popping right now.
Are you noticing my skin?
Yeah. You've been drinking a lot of water, unlike last year.
Oh, I'm so different in that regard. You know, did we talk about my skin last year?
No.
Yeah, no, because you said, and this is really
cool. I've already said that, haven't I? And you're just mocking me.
What, about your skin?
Yeah.
No, it does look good.
You were sincerely mean that.
Yeah.
Why, thank you. That's a tremendous compliment.
How horrible do you think I am to be like, hey, by
the way.
I thought
it was something that I said about myself and you were just repeating it to make fun of
me. So last year.
I mean, that doesn't like me.
I listened to last year's episode last night and this morning just to go over like what was said so we wouldn't cover it again. And one of the things that you mentioned was that you usually don't fall into the trap of like responding to trolls or whatever. But you said, if you really want to go after me and you say that like, oh, you know,
like Peter looks old or something?
No,
right?
Yeah, when Peter feels really good about himself and then someone jumps in on Snapchat and says, hey, you look as old as me, and you go, and he said, you should drink more water. You said that's when you got offended, and you responded to the guy, and the guy never responded. You're like, you take all the time to insult me.
And I remember that. That was hurtful that someone would say that. There's another thing.
Especially because you drink lots of water, you said.
There's another thing that really bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, Michelle Beadle, when I went on Sports Nation, made a joke about me afterwards on the K Show that I've seen in my comments before. I didn't hear it, but I was told about it, that she said something about me having Trump hands. And I was like, I don't have particularly small hands. That's not a thing. And the guy who told me about this is a pro athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So I shook his hand. There were two pro athletes, Rick DiPietro, who was a goalie,
right?
Pretty big hands. We shook hands. My hand was...
Was he wearing a glove?
Not a hockey glove. Okay. No gloves.
Mm-hmm.
A quarter of a digit.
Yeah.
A quarter of a digit below his hands. And then I shook hands with Chris Canty, who's a 6'8" defensive lineman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Again, my matchup, totally good. And I was like, is there something I do with my hands when I talk that make them look small? Because I am offended by that. I do not want to have Trumpian hands.
But right. Is she even talking about the size, or is she just talking about the fact that you use your hands when you talk?
I assumed she meant size, because doing hand gestures is not a Trump thing to me. That's a Jewish thing.
All right.
An Italian.
Or Italian, yeah.
Like that, though, that's just an
Are
ethnic,
you Italian?
That's an ethnic thing. That's not a Trump thing.
Right.
I thought she meant small. Do you, let me see, let's shake hands. What do you, what
I
do
think you have right. a decent sized hand.
Right? Let's match up. Oh, no, you have Trump hands, too. No. We're like the same size.
We do not have Trump hands, guys.
Let me see yours.
No, don't.
You're the
don't
taller brother. Oh, see, that's a hand. You got like, but you're only like a core. Again, look at that. I'm close, and you're much taller than me, and I'm close.
Jeff has a hockey glove of a hand.
You really
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
So that is the new way. So trolls coming at me in 2018. Hit me with that Trump hand.
You're giving them the cheat code.
Take it. Go ahead. I'll get upset about it.
A waste of time with It's the Reels 12 Days of Podcast is sponsored by our friends at Def Jam Recordings, who have consistently dropped the best projects this whole holiday season. If you're like our friend Shinsuke Ikeda and you celebrate Christmas at the Blake's house every year, what do you get for the family who invites you in, spends all day on the most elaborate Christmas dinner, gives you presents galore, and loves you like their own son? A quick trip to the liquor store, you say? I say no. Shin, this is a message for you. Go get the Blakes a copy of Jeezy's new album Pressure, which features amazing guest verses from 2 Chainz, Rick Ross, Puff Daddy, YG, Kodak Black, and of course, Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole on that slapper called American Dream. Pressure is available on all streaming services, Shin, including Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, Google Play, Pandora, and of course at JeezyShop.com, where you can cop all those Pressure hoodies for Bob, for Thomas, for Gina, and get something nice for Kat too, huh? And don't sleep on that Friday on Elm Street project from friends of this podcast, Fabulous and Jadakiss. You know that's bars on bars on bars, which speaks right to the Blake, Shin. This new vinyl version of Janae Aiko's Trip, which has the dope song Sativa and When We Were Young. And of course, Jesse Boykins III's new album, Bartholomew, which features Sid, Trinidad James, Bridget Kelly, Melanie Fiona, and more. Shin, on your way to Midnight Mass, grab the aux cord and pull up on church on Christmas blasting some Def Jam records, all right?
Okay.
Were you happy to find out that Black Thought is a good rapper?
Oh, my God. I can't believe the guy from The Tonight Show can rap. That was so good. But no, I'll tell you what, though, as someone who has not always ranked him as highly as other people,
mm-hmm.
I thought it was cool that in 2018, out of the blue, you added to your case, 2017, you added to your case for top 10 MCs.
Amazing.
Because I know there's some people like, he's number one, he's number five, you're crazy, he's number three. But there are people like me who have a tough time with him in top 10 for just a bunch of personal factors. I've always thought he was
what does
amazing.
That mean? He keyed your car or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. We have a real issue with each other.
Yeah.
No, I just like, I love Black Thought and always thought he was an amazing MC. But like his He has a limited body of work that resonates with me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's personal. It's right. just like random taste. It's not about what his skill set is. So to me, to watch that to me, honestly, and this may sound ridiculous, but to me, I think he sort of jumped into my top 10. Like
wow.
maybe he gets 10 now.
As simple as just like doing the 10-minute freestyle?
It was so impressive.
It was very impressive.
It was like, no, of course.
From a sheer, like he said on Fallon that it was a freestyle.
Right.
I think that means it's probably a compilation of like some written, some, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. He was wearing a $10,000 hat.
to do 10 minutes of like completely no hesitation bars mm-hmm. that have not been on songs before.
Right.
Which
is unbelievable.
The way, like, with the added difficulty of having Flex yelling in his face.
What?
Bars.
By the way, Flex's ad libs at the end of that were among
amazing.
The best.
I mean,
amazing.
Have you guys seen the GIFs of
oh,
Flex's
yeah.
face?
I was waiting. I haven't seen them yet.
It's so good.
Oh, they're so good.
It was awesome. It was just so cool. And then the fact that he shouted out Combat Jack on
yeah,
it.
Was very, very special.
And, that'll, and at the time, I was like, oh, man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Not knowing that when it came out, maybe he already knew that
well,
Combat Jack was doing really poorly.
Well, I think he probably had an idea. Look, Combat...
we saw him, what, a month ago?
Mm-hmm.
That's when you recorded your end of the year thing?
No. He wasn't able to come this year.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
This year, no. So Combat was diagnosed, what, 2 months ago or something
yeah,
like that?
October.
And we saw him a month ago, and he was in bad shape.
Where did you see him?
We saw him at his girlfriend's place, and he was receiving like just a few visitors, and we went there, and we brought him a whole bunch of movies because you
we
have a lot
know.
Of free time.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was diagnosed late in, you know, the stages, and... unfortunately, like we know from our dad, like when you get late stage cancer, it's not an easy road by any
it's
stretch.
It's almost impossible.
It is impossible. And he was dealing with
is
a lot.
Four basically impossible?
Yeah.
Impossible.
Well, I think the odds are not anywhere in your favor, but like it's not impossible. Like right. There are people who have overcome that.
But it's just very.
I'll say this. Combat, when we visited him, had the right attitude.
Mm-hmm.
He was totally, you know, he knew what he had to do. He felt like he was in fighting shape. He had a great attitude about the whole thing.
Which is unfortunately not the whole thing. And
right.
his body just couldn't take it. Right.
Science just wasn't on his side. But I think that he did everything that he could to fight it.
So when you say receiving visitors, like, other people, okay, it was like a time when he took time to see people?
It was you. He didn't have the energy.
He was very tired. He was seated. He had lost a lot of weight from the surgery, like a lot of weight. His pants like didn't stay up when he stood up to like, you know, shake our hand and all that. We went and I guess Charlemagne had visited him earlier that day. Someone's manager was there right before us. We spent probably half hour, 45 minutes with him. And, you know, we brought a lot of like blessings from people online, a lot of memories. We read to him everyone's favorite episodes that people would like hit us on Twitter with. We were encouraging. We just tried to bring a lot of love and tell him honestly how we felt about him, because I think we figured that there was less time than more time.
So I wasn't as tight with him as you guys were, but we would just I checked in with him when I heard.
Yeah.
I said, Reggie just saw the news. This is Monday, October 23rd. So right when the day the news got public.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or maybe a day after. I don't know. I said, Reggie just saw the news. Sending you prayers and blessings. If I can do anything to help you in any way, please don't hesitate. I have no doubt you will beat the shit out of cancer. Holler anytime, Rosenberg. Yeah. He wrote, ah, man, thank you, exclamations. I wrote, what's the prognosis? You feeling positive, brother? Because I didn't know. I don't think I knew it was stage four.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what's the prognosis? You feeling positive, brother? He said, I'm feeling like I'm going to make it my bitch. Feeling great. Still waiting for full details.
Yeah.
And at that point, you know, I guess like the kind of level of relationship that we had, it was something of, man, I hope he does better. And did not think that it was a timetable like that. You know, that's what makes cancer sort of a weird thing. Right?
I also don't think that anybody did. Like, right? Like, even you get caught up in the hashtag of combat cancer and you think, I mean, if you put, you know, mind to, you know, if he really puts his mind to it or whatever, like if there's science, whatever, like he's too big to fail, you know? And so I think that when you have the internet at your back, like everybody's sort of rooting for you.
Well, so in 2009, we got the phone call from our parents about our dad's cancer. It was such a heavy blow and such a hard thing to sort of like comprehend. And good friends who had gone through similar things had sort of like put us into this mindset where it's like, look, go from milepost to milepost. Like, don't think of it like, okay, you're going to beat this.
Right.
Like, don't think like, it's just like, let's go for the small things and focus on those small things.
So I think with any medical situation, that's overwhelming. What you, yeah. Like, let's get little victories and put these victories together and hope it leads to something better.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's what we tried to impart in a very small way. And we hoped, I know, maybe it was Gimlet or somebody had sent him like a recording device and it was like, hey, maybe you can tell your story. Like it was all about focus on today. Watch a movie, get through today, get to tomorrow. And this was a couple days before he was going to go in and find out what his chemo treatment was going to look like with his doctor. So he wasn't even sure what the treatment was going to be. But the hope was that he could take it day by day or hour by hour or minute by minute just to like get to that next step. And you know, ultimately, I think it's shocking to most people because maybe most people didn't know what stage it was or accept the reality that like cancer is a horrendous, horrific beast. And it was what it was. Because I think that was what was surprising to us, like the reaction of people yesterday who were just like, what? Or how could this happen so fast? And we had relatives who couldn't believe that our father passed in 6 weeks. You know, from his diagnosis to...
You're so used to hearing people get cancer and beat it now.
Right.
Or have a long bout with it and, You know, I don't. You don't hear cancer, and at this point, at least for me, I don't instantly think death.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I think they announced they have cancer.
Right,
and I'd say 50% of them, when you hear about it, it's like, oh, they beat it.
I think because the hope is that they discover it early, because people are more like sort of aware of cancer and getting checked out. You know.
Cancer is such a conspiracy in some way. There's like, it's just too much. Like, the amount of young people who get sick now, it's, and I don't think this is one of those things where people say like, now, back in my day, it really is more now.
Yes.
Like, I don't think this is made up.
Right.
You know, like, there are these things, like, there are these areas where like everyone gets cancer. We got calls from this one place in Long Island. We're like, I forget which town it was. A famous town in Long Island. I can't remember which one. So many women have breast cancer. Like,
right.
It's so many people. And you're like, there's no way there's not some shit buried in the ground or something going on.
Totally.
And they're just not telling people
right.
that they're getting cancer over and over and over. It just seems crazy to me. But did he do anything? Did he record anything at the end?
That I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
But I will say this. In regards to you guys, and I know you put up some pictures from the Atlanta, the A3C event that you guys
did. Would
have
been nice if that audio didn't get, like, disappear somehow.
Right.
That would have been nice.
But what you guys did in patching that up, and I think also, like, when Sean Price died, like, that was a huge part of, like, your guys' relationship. I thought that was so great. You know, I thought it was really right that you guys were both titans in this little, like, you know, podcast village of ours. Like, you guys really made right and moved on and, like, men grew up, and, you know, and decided that, like, this was bigger than maybe whatever you guys had in the past. And I just loved that you guys came together, and I'm glad that you got to a place where you're able to send a text like that. That was really special to hear. So
yeah, I was glad that we made it good. It's weird when you have like that kind of ups and downs with people. It's like, it's sort of, it bonds you in certain ways, you know, that like you're attached to each other in a certain way. And I think that in the long run, our little feud was probably good from a branding standpoint of like the whole hip hop podcast kind of space.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I wish it didn't ever happen, obviously. But ultimately, listen, we had moments we got on the phone and screamed at each other. Like, we really had it out.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I thought we really put it to bed. But it still stings a little. You know, it's a weird little sting. Although, I'll tell you, I'm so numb. I just hate to say that. But, like, between hip-hop and wrestling, the two fields I'm passionate about, the amount of premature death there is such that, like, I should have. I had enough of a history with him. You know, we were far from close friends, but I consider him a friend, and we had enough history that I should have cried yesterday at some point. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. My mom's best friend passed away a few months ago. It was shocking. She was 70, but it was shocking. The way she lived her life, it was just absolutely shocking, and she dropped dead. I hate to say it so callously, but that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up crying at one point for like 7 seconds.
Yeah.
And besides that, and I still at this point in my life cannot believe that Hannah, this woman, is not in our life. I can't believe it. When every time I go home, I'm like, Hannah's not here. Next week she would be with us on Christmas Eve. Always. Still doesn't, it just, I can't find it the same way. It's like it's been a recurring theme. And I don't know if it's just getting older. I guess that's a big part of it.
Well, okay. So so we did these 12 days of podcasts, and two times I said...
Not a lot of people know this. Most of the people on those podcasts have since perished. Not many people know. 90% of these 12...
It's a weird coincidence.
Weird... Sorry, go ahead.
No, but so I talked about in the Q&A episode and also in the episode that we did with Two Blacks and Two Jews Review the Movies with the Locks. I talk about how I'm not an emotional guy. Just never been, you know, I'm not that guy. Even like, you know, when death has been very close to me, not a big thing for me. But it hit really hard yesterday for me. And I'm still, it's been hard today. And I don't think it is an age thing. I don't think that you get, I think that death and anything that's sad news, it will just hit you.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any, you don't build up a tolerance for it.
Yeah. I am very, I,
But I don't mean that, by the way. I meant in terms of the amount of death existing.
No, I understand. I'm saying, like, you know, there were a few deaths that we knew of this year. And, you know,
I can't even remember them all. That's the bad part. I was like, a lot of people died this year. Who was it?
A lot of people died. Ice Pick died this year.
I didn't know Ice Pick at all.
Oh, yeah.
By the way. I know a lot of people.
That was really tough. That was really tough.
Yeah.
A lot of people died. And it's really unfortunate. I don't know if I'm just like I'm more in touch with my emotions now than I ever was, but I cry and I'm open with that and I'm fine with that. And it's very like sort of cathartic.
Yeah, me too. But that's the thing. I consider myself to be someone who's, listen, I cry at every episode of This Is Us, but
yeah, but that's because it's designed to make you cry.
And like, it works. That's what I'm saying. So the tear ducts still work. I see it. But for some reason, a lot of these ones recently, even though I'm in shock and I want to talk about it and be cathartic and go through my emotions about it, that feeling of like letting it out and being like, this, it hurts.
Yeah.
I've struggled a little bit recently with that. And I don't know.
Do you cry Tears of Joy?
No.
Do you listen to Tears of Joy by Rick Ross?
Yes.
Great song.
There you go.
You know,
and I cried. Well, I cried to that song.
Yeah. It's that good. I do remember there was an award show back when we were still living with our parents up in Westchester. I remember our dad. Someone gave a speech, and I don't even know that it was like an actress that, like, you know, he was a huge fan of or whatever. It was just our dad was so taken by like her speech that he was crying tears of joy. And at the time, I was like, this is dad. Like, why is he crying? And like, but I understand that so much more now. And I'm turning into that man. Like, I appreciate those moments when it's like, this is a good cry. Like a good cry, good, you know?
I had one that was a mix recently where I did cry. WrestleMania weekend in, sorry.
Like, this is so on brand for you.
I know, right? But no, it's a good story. I think you'll like it regardless of which part of my multi brands that I have to promote. It was WWE WrestleMania 33 weekend. I'm glad I had to get that in there. And 34 will be coming up in New Orleans in April. No, and there was an event every year at WrestleMania weekend. There's a big WrestleCon, which you could figure out what that is. Obviously, it's not a WWE thing. It is, but like, as also doesn't surprise you, I'm sure. WrestleMania weekend, everything around wrestling happens now in that city.
Right.
So WrestleCon was going on. I've never been. And Dipperstein, my agent, was like, I want to stop by. He's like, that's how we got together. He's a huge wrestling fan. I was like, I don't care. Let's go. And I'm on sort of cloud nine because it's my first year working for the company.
Right.
And I just got giddy saying that again because I'm like, oh my God, April's coming up and I'll be working for them.
Yeah.
But so I'm in just a great space in general. I'm staying at the Talent Hotel. I get the swag. Like, I'm part of it.
Yeah.
And this is truly the most living my dream thing I've done in a while, because unfortunately you get used to sort of other things, and HOT is my place that I go to work and I love it. But I have those moments occasionally, but they're now much fewer and far between because you get so used to it. So I'm just like in a great mood. We stop by WrestleCon and we run into some people, and someone's like, oh, blah, 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 Bobby the Brain Heenan's here. And I was like, Bobby the Brain Heenan's here? By the way, it should have been in my mind that he would be here, but he's been physically so not well for so long that I didn't think about him being there. He had mouth cancer, lost basically his jaw.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. You've probably seen pictures before of someone who has had that. It's shockingly deforming.
Roger Ebert.
Exactly. Yeah. It looks very rough.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've seen pictures of him and I've watched videos, and like, you can't understand him very well. I had been in communication sometime before that with his wife about wanting to do a feature on him for ESPN. And to make a long story short, I got sort of caught up in the logistics of it and it never happened. I wanted to do a thing where like I went down to visit him and did a TV feature. I really wanted to push that, but like, it just didn't happen.
And his place in the WWE was?
Bobby the Brain Heenan was the biggest villain manager when I was a kid, but he also was on commentary, he was the analyst, the color guy, and he was also the bad guy analyst, but he was hilarious. And like, ultimately, Hulk Hogan had a million different foils who he would beat every time, but ultimately it was always Bobby the Brain Heenan. He was really the ultimate foe for Hogan, if you look back on that time, which is seen as probably the most popular run that anyone's ever had, the face of those bad guys and the talking of those bad guys, like 75% of the time, it was Bobby Heenan. And
his other foil, by the way, not white people.
it's a big stain.
I know, it really is. It's a bad one. But that's for another podcast.
Yeah.
But
not today.
Yeah.
Heenan's very important, and I just comedically worshipped him. Like, he was so funny. His timing, his ability to be like the bad guy who was always getting beaten up in the end and got his comeuppance, and the crowd loved it. Like, he was just physically, he was hilarious. He used to be a wrestler. So the number one thing you can say about a manager is he managed like a wrestler. Like, he would take bumps in the ring like a wrestler, but on the microphone, he was a manager. He was like the ultimate manager, right? So he could do everything well. And as a result, I just worshipped him. When I was young, I didn't know why I thought he was great. I just thought he was really funny, and I wanted to see him get beat up,
right.
And it was just great. Anyways, as I got older and wanted to do wrestling stuff, I was like, well, he's the guy. Like, he is the guy who was bigger. He could have done something else. If he hadn't been WWE, I think he could have done something else. Like, David Letterman worships Bobby Heenan. Like, he's just one of these guys who other people in the industry and in other parts of entertainment appreciate his level of talent. So, like, Bobby Heenan's there. So I'm just like, where is he? And I go find him, and I go see him, and he's sitting in a wheelchair behind a table with his wife next to him. When I walked over, I think there was one guy finishing up, but there wasn't a line, in spite of the fact that he's
a legend.
And compared to the other people in the room, arguably the biggest star in the room, you know, or certainly in the top few. Maybe other people had already come to see him. Maybe people feel weird talking to him because they know you can't really hear what he has to say. And I reintroduced myself to his wife and was like, I emailed you, Cynthia, about blah, blah, blah. And I was like, but I got down on like one knee and I got really close to him and I said, Mr. Heenan, my name's Peter Rosenberg. I work at WWE now. I just gave him my whole spiel. And I said, I just want to tell you that you are the reason I wanted to be in wrestling. I think you are one of them. I think you are, to me, one of the most brilliant performers in the world who's ever done anything in performance. I just think you are brilliant, and I love everything you did. And when I go on the air there, I take things from you all the time and use them in homage to you. Like, I just poured my heart out.
That's incredible.
And he and I could see, there's a term in wrestling that I use all the time that you end up using everywhere in life, which is popping. Like, the idea is to pop a crowd, right? Like, oh, the crowd really popped for Ultimate Warrior. I could see him pop. Like, in his eyes, I could see his eyes pop that I was, like, such a big fan of his, right?
Yeah.
Like, you could see him, like, and then I said, you know, my boss who hired me, Chris Chambers, do you remember Chris Chambers? And he nods, and I said, well, Chambers has told me great things about you. And so I did as little as I could to make him try to talk to me because I knew it would just be hard to understand. And he did say a few things that she translated, but all I know is he clearly got it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said thank you, and I said thank you to her, and I walked away, and I just walked away from my agent. And I just started weeping.
Yeah,
like, I was just, and I'm about to cry. I'm talking about it now, and I called Alexa. I was trying to get her to answer, and she wasn't answering. She was like at work or something, and I just like took a moment and sat there and just let the tears kind of go. Like, and I don't know if it was sadness at the state he was in, which I'm sure is part of it, or just getting to tell him that he meant so much, or the fact that I'm so overjoyed that I'm able to be doing some of it. Was like this wild combination of the ball.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah. And by the way, he passed away a couple of months ago. So the fact that it was almost like, here's the ill part about it. When I saw him there, because of how he's been physically, because he's been completely removed from that world, and he hasn't been on great terms with WWE for reasons I don't really know. It felt like he was already gone. To most people, it felt like Heenan was already gone. So to see him and get to tell him was as if I got to tell him after he was gone.
Right.
But he heard it.
Yeah.
So it was just an amazing, and so that was probably the last time that in a moment I was just like completely overwhelmed.
That's incredibly special. I think to tell anybody while they're still around is really, like...
I've been trying to do that more in interviews, and it's awkward.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just tell me now.
Jeff, you know, like your comedy thing that you do.
Yeah, or whatever.
Yeah. The kind of Jewy hip-hop shit that you do is what it's what I thrive on.
Wow.
Even though it's funny, because I do basically, we do the same bullshit. And I, but yours to me. No,
I'm glad we have the time, guys.
Yeah, I'm just glad we have this time all the time. No, but I try, like, when people come in who are, like, really iconic.
Mm-hmm.
I did it recently. I tried with, like, RZA.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if he fully got it. I was like, I just want to tell you, I was like... I've been trying to tell, I told him, I said, I'm trying to tell everyone while they're around.
Yeah.
Because you never know. I said, you being like still active and like a voice and like you still create and like, I was like, it's so awesome. Like, it, you know, Wu-Tang was a monumental thing where any of the individual characters could have faded away.
Yeah.
But the fact that like RZA still makes news, he's still around. He still looks great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He still, when he jumps on songs, sounds fucking awesome.
Right.
He like... I was like, the fact that you're still like active in your voices, I was like, I'm thankful for it. And I don't even know if people like know what to say. Or, but it's like,
but as long as you say it, I think that's fine. You know what I watched the other night? So ESPN's app, because we don't have cable anymore, has a new.
Well, don't sound like we don't have cable anymore because we
can't afford it. Yeah. Can't afford it.
Yeah.
Things are not going well.
Listen, we have a GoFundMe, please.
Yeah, okay.
If you could get us
that's right.
a cable.
Yes.
They're very expensive.
Jeff was bullied last week.
Yeah.
And do you want to talk? What did the bully say to you?
He said that my face looks weird.
Okay. And what do you want to say to him now?
I want to say, please go fund us.
Oh, wow. You're going directly. Okay, and that's perfect. And they can go pay for your cable.
Yeah.
All right, so sorry. The cable, you're watching on ESPN.
So the kid who went viral for like the whole bullying thing. Mm-hmm. And his mother like straight out said just like, I need Christmas presents. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's just nuts.
Anyway. Wait, but that's not what you were watching on the app, was it?
No.
I'm sorry.
On the app, I was watching Nature Boy.
The Ric Flair documentary.
Yeah. Just because it's a 30 for 30 and that is a brand that I trust, right? Yeah. You know that we're not wrestling fans.
No.
That documentary gave it such perspective. He, as I'm sure you've seen it more than once.
Yeah.
It pissed him off when Sally, Jesse, Raphael would be like, this is fake. Wrestling is fake. And he's like, no, it's not. And when they asked him, you know, whether it was 2015 or 2017, whenever they interviewed him for this documentary, he said it's choreographed. That made so much sense to me. That it's like dancing, but, you know, choreographed moves that these guys are doing. And they showed footage that echoed that. And all these years that I've lived on this earth and never understood wrestling or never got, that made so much sense to me.
It's interesting that, yeah, I heard that resonated with people. And that's interesting to me because I guess to me that was always so clear. Like, that's why I'm into it. But
you don't like the costumes?
I do like the costumes sometimes too. I mean, I just think it has a lot of, listen... There are WWE shows I'm not happy with. Like at the end of the show, I'm like, oh, that could have been better.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm never in a bad mood. Sports puts me in a bad mood a lot.
Sports.
Because you care a lot.
Yes.
Right.
The Redskins put me in a bad mood.
Kirk Cousins personally.
I love Kirk. He makes me happy. But when the Redskins, when I realized like this year when they were losing to Dallas and I was like,
the Washington sports team.
Yeah. I don't do that. Even though I'm for them changing the name, right. I still do say, I just can't.
Daniel Snyder's.
Here's my thing I'll say about this.
Yes.
The reason I don't participate in that thing, and this may be seen as stupid, even though I think they should change the name.
Yes.
To say when people only call them the Washington sports team as if you can't say it.
Right.
And I know this may be dumb. To me, it equates it with the N-word.
It's
not the N-word.
Right.
It's a bad word.
Right.
But here's my question. Have you ever heard that word used anywhere but the team?
No.
Then it's not the same as the N-word. Let's just be clear.
Right.
The N-word is a part of American history that is like... so. Now, not to say it's not hurtful to Native Americans.
Of course.
I'm sure it can be.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's not quite the same as this word that is so integral to who we are as a country.
Right.
Now, like, literally everything terrible has already happened to the Native American population.
Yeah. That could ever possibly happen. And it's horrible.
Yeah.
I just don't think that word is the indicator of it, even though I think it's foul. They should change the name.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so when I realized that they were eliminated...
Yes.
I literally sit there and I'm like... No, I can't believe the season's over.
Right,
Right. No. In my head, I'm like, how long till next year? Oh, I have to get through the Super Bowl. I have to do all this shit. And I get so frustrated. That's not what wrestling does. But it still has this awesome athletic component. So I will say, and I'm not a wrestler at all, being so deeply invested in it and now feeling a part of it to a certain degree, I am offended by the word fake. Like, that is the one word that when people say it, you're kind of like, oh, that can be a weird thing for it. Like, if you're on a date and they're like, oh, if you were on a date and you were like in that world and someone's like, oh, that fake stuff, you'd be like, ah, oh, I'm probably not going to be this person. Because my retort to that is like, I want to do a skit, but I don't have the balls. I don't need to do it.
Sketch.
I want to do a sketch where I go to a movie theater.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And at the climax of the movie, just start screaming, this is fake. This is all fake.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't understand. No other form of entertainment gets called fake. It's all fake.
That's what you should do on your date.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, that's how the date plays out, right? Yeah. Oh, the fake stuff? Yeah. And it's like, well, aren't movies... That is the sketch, though, right?
I mean, do I get a co-writing credit?
Yeah, sure. Right there, yeah. But that is the sketch, right? Yeah. You're on the date. She's like, oh, the fake stuff. And you're like,
tell Jeff how much
stuff.
You appreciate him.
What Wait. You've done yeah. as a writer.
Wait, at the end of the sketch, does she fake it?
Wow.
See, now you're going full circle.
That's the button right there.
No, that's pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah. But yeah, I just don't understand. I guess people, it always makes me feel like people who say that were like when they were little thought it was real. And then mm-hmm. when they found out it was staged, felt offended. And mm-hmm. so to that day, they hold on to it and they're like, fake. I hate it. It's fake. It's a stupid fake.
Right.
And I'm like, when I was little, I kind of assumed, even at like 7 years old.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember ever taking it very seriously. I just loved it.
Okay. What?
Yeah, like seriously.
I don't remember taking it very seriously, says the man who only wears wrestling like t-shirts from the 80s.
This is from the 90s. It's a sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. No, I take it very seriously as an art form,
right.
But I never took it seriously as a competition.
Which part of the art form are the tacks on the on the canvas?
That part, the tacks part, that part of the art form is the ability and willingness mm-hmm. to do insane things to yourself with the purpose of entertaining an audience.
Mm-hmm. What's the most insane thing you've done for the purpose of entertaining an audience?
I am yet to do anything, but I will do it.
Yeah.
Like, oh no! I mean, you know, I got slapped by a wrestler on YouTube, but she was a legit slap. Like, she slapped the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the extent of any pain I've
felt. How did it play?
So far. Oh, have you ever watched it?
No.
You've never seen this video?
Of you getting smacked? No.
Yeah, but it plays on WWE. I mean, it plays on the Hot 97 YouTube channel like legit.
What?
Oh, yeah, you should watch. We'll watch
it. We will watch it, yes.
It's pretty good.
My favorite thing that Juanito does is he freezes out by the gas stations shirtless.
Yeah.
On a cold day. Yeah.
So that
he did that once and then complained about it for so long. And like, oh, it kind of felt like he was going to sue us, so we can't do it again. By the way, I just want to put this out here.
Yeah.
You got to get rid of the Al Franken
book. I know. It's such a bummer.
You want to take it?
Yes, please. Yeah.
I will walk out and drop it somewhere. You cannot have it sitting above Questlove's book. You can't have it next to Angie Martinez's book. You can't have it next to the Ego Trip book of rap lists.
It's such a bummer.
Yeah, no, it's over.
Because
like even though he's not Harvey Weinstein, he definitely was gross. There are way too many, dude. It was like it started out as like two.
It definitely wasn't Harvey
Weinstein.
And it's
like nine. It definitely wasn't. Yeah. But it got to the point of like you're a creep.
Remember when Tiger Woods, like when he first got in trouble with his wife, and then it became a cascade of just women coming out, and that was like Harvey Weinstein was like, oh. Oh, we can talk about this now?
Oh, we're going in now.
Yeah. Crazy.
Which, by the way, is another podcast.
Yes.
But.
I do want to say that we're very excited about your live Juan Epstein podcast at Highline Ballroom.
Which, by the way, this was supposed to be a Juan episode.
Yeah.
We were going to have you and Seif, but then Seif is now not allowed back in the country. Like, what is
something
his...
to that effect, right?
Yeah. Like, he was in Toronto and then he didn't come home.
I can't comment on it. Like what happened, but something happened.
But wait, something actually happened?
No.
I'm glad that you guys are reuniting on stage in front of a live audience.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Highline Ballroom, January 17th.
Sure,
that's a good plug.
All this just means that you guys don't hate each other that much. You know,
we actually really do. This part's true.
What?
We really do get along better than ever before because
by not working together,
well, by not working together and not feeling any pressure whatsoever. You know, that's it's January 17th.
Yeah.
One night only, by the way, at Highline Ballroom.
It's a great name.
It's a great name.
Thank you. I don't know.
Will you be there a week before at our show at SOBs called It's the Real Two SOBs?
What day of the week is it?
That's a Tuesday. I think, right?
I think it's Thursday.
It's one week
you
before
don't care
yours.
About my schedule at all.
I think it's a Thursday.
Yeah, I think it's a Thursday, which means I might be there.
Yeah.
Wait,
what do you do on Tuesdays?
No, I just don't like going out pre-Thursdays. I know, I don't go out on weeknights like that. Come on,
you don't do anything.
But that's my point. I'm not an animal.
But you guys get along much better than you did when you were doing stuff.
Yeah, it's just there's also just pressure that comes with that and like frustration and like me. Yeah, I know, you're looking at the time. It's ridiculous, so I'm going to have a ticket. So do I send this? Who do I send this to?
Sife Sounds.
Right. Yeah.
But no, we do get along really well, and it's like really nice to catch up. And I got to go check how our ticket sales are. My decision on how hard to work on a guest is based on how our ticket sales go.
Uh-huh.
And if ticket sales go well, I don't really care about a guest. Like, I would love for us to just get up,
totally,
and have fun and take audience questions and bullshit with each other.
What if nobody? Have special guests? What if nobody has bought tickets? Who's the guest you're gonna have?
Drake.
Yeah,
Drake.
Just Drake. Yeah, put it out there. Yeah.
So Drizzy.
Is that why Sife went to Toronto?
That would be great.
Yeah.
But Sife does have a lot of awesome stuff going on that I'm really excited about. Sife has a new Laugh Mob's Laugh Tracks starting on True TV right after the top of the year. So like, he's got a lot of awesome stuff going on. And yeah, we get along great. So I'm excited. Who knows? Maybe more come of it. We don't have a set plan for it. But
it's awesome, though.
And like, the timing is kind of, it was weird, but like, yeah, last night someone mentioned to me after everything that happened with Combat, it was like, oh, maybe you can do something about Combat Jack at the thing. And I was like, oh, yeah, that would be nice, like, to pay some sort of tribute to him. And it did make me think, I'm like, oh, maybe we should do some more, make some concerted effort to do some sort of like classic episodes in the vein. Because there are episodes that we have that are nothing like Combat Jack Show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then we have some that are in the same
universe
yeah. of like really historical kind of serious ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe we should try to do some more because it's such a gigantic void. And you know, Jack hadn't been doing as many, period. You know, he had the mogul stuff and then his health issues. So I was like, maybe we should try to do more. But the thing is, I just don't want to not do it justice.
Right.
Because that's the one thing I'll say about Reggie. He really took it to the next level in terms of like the seriousness about it. Like,
totally.
I said this earlier, but you know, he always credited us with being the first, but he was the best. You know, he did the best one, ultimately.
8 years or something like that straight? Like, I mean, that's...
Yeah. Like,
that's
really
considerable.
Really, really committed to it and made it his job and calling, and ultimately ended up becoming a star in the podcast field. I mean, yesterday, I think it was a nice tiny silver lining that he was literally the number one topic in the world.
Loved it.
You know?
Like, loved it.
And by the way, let's be clear. He loved that.
Oh,
no
yeah.
way Reggie wasn't looking down like, well, that's pretty tight.
I love
you
it.
Know? He like, talked about it when he got diagnosed, and he said like how much he appreciated everything that people were saying like while he was here.
Yeah.
Like, that he had that opportunity to for yeah. everybody to say that.
I was talking to our mom
LL
last
Cool
night about
J
it.
Called him.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
I was talking to our mom about it last night, and I was like, he was the number one trending topic in the world, which shows you like it's so much bigger than this New York City little like, you know, podcast world that we operate in. This was worldwide.
He impacted a lot of people, and he had two different runs in hip-hop that had a major impact. Yeah, he left a real considerable legacy. And in the overall cultural hip hop hall of fame, he created a wing, you know, like he has a big wing of history that exists through his show. So,
but even on like a more micro level, like every time he came over to our apartment, he would bring something.
Very nice.
And he's the only person who's ever brought us any. You didn't bring us anything.
No, he's going to take the Al Franken book away.
By the way, so, that's the biggest favor anyone can do for you. That's like giving you two things. Just getting rid of the Al Franken book.
Do you need some help since you have Trump hands?
All right, bye, guys.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this new episode of Waste Time with It's the Real Jeff. If you want to find out more about us, I'm Eric. You're Jeff. That's Shin. And we are It's the Real. If you want to find out more about this podcast, it's called A Waste of Time with It's the Real. If people want to find out where they can go get tickets for our upcoming show live on the SOBs stage, It's the Real, 2 SOBs, on January 10, 2018, where can they go?
You can always go get tickets at itsthereal.com, itsthereal, no apostrophes, no spaces. You can always find all of our episodes of our podcast on iTunes. Search for A Waste of Time with It's the Real. We are also on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/awasteoftime. Our album Teddy Bear Fresh is on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, Spotify,
Tidal, everywhere. All them. But go to Spotify because we have a lot of plays there.
That's why I said Spotify twice, by the way.
Go again. It's go back subtle. There. We're past 500,000 plays on Sugar High featuring Currency and Smoke Dizza. Guys, go to that right now.
Yeah, and we're also on the internet. You can find us on any social network. Twitter at It's The Real, Instagram at It's The Real, Facebook at It's The Real.
Jeff, you know this podcast is not going anywhere unless you guys, our fans, our loyal friends and family out there, spread the word. And we know it starts with us. So, Jeff, who would you like to tell to spread the word about this mighty, mighty podcast?
I want to tell, and by the way, this is working because our audience has doubled over last year, which doubled over the year before.
Jeff, 2018, let's double it up again.
All right, but I want to shout out our good friend Dennis Snopkowski.
Hey. Who
is definitely listening to this podcast because he loves Peter Rosenberg up in Toronto.
Shout out to Dennis.
Or, I mean, he's on like the border of Toronto, wherever
Doesn't
he
matter.
Is in Canada.
Doesn't matter.
He is a transplant up there, and he enjoys listening to Peter talk about whatever Peter talks about.
Shout out to our good friend Dennis Nopkowski. Jeff, I want to shout out someone more local, another friend of ours who actually unfortunately is looking for a job right now.
Oh.
Our friend Joe Budden.
Oh, Joe Budden.
Joe Budden, listen, since Joe has a lot more free time, since he's not doing Everyday Struggle anymore, he is certainly welcome to stop by the podcast, hang out, and guest if he wants.
Yeah, listen, we need an intern.
So, Joe, you know our information. You follow us on Twitter. Hit us. Let us know if you're available, what your CV is, what your rate is. We can probably get you lunch like once a week, I think.
Yeah. We can cover transportation.
We'll do what we can. Shout out to Joe Budden, and hey, good luck out there. We know it's a tough competition for work these days.
Tough job market.
But we believe in you.
Yeah.
We think you're great.
As long as you're driven over here, we can help you.
I thought you were going to say just driven.
Yeah, yeah.
Driven over here. Shout out to Joe Budden. Shout out to Maul and Rory and Parks and Imani and Sin and Nadeska and everybody who's a part of that Joe Budden world. We'll eventually see you all up here. As always, guys, not for real, for real.
Sure, sure.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.
This episode of the 12 Days of Podcast has been sponsored by the good people of Def Jam, who have dropped Jeezy's Pressure on Spotify, Google Play, Amazon, Pandora, and on JeezyShop.com. Go get some merch. Go cop some tickets to his Cold Summer Tour this February with T-Grizzly. Go write a million comments on Instagram asking Jeezy to come to Brazil. Jeezy's got some amazing features on his album. And tomorrow, we finish our run of features with Shy Glizzy.